Well, I hate to get up here and mess everything up that's been done this morning. It was so pretty, so beautiful, so inspiring. So I've got a challenge for myself this morning. The pastor asked me, and you know, I noticed him this weekend, and I kept wondering what's on his mind. Something looks like it's bothering him. Something looks like it's really bothering him. I kept worrying a little bit. What's going on? And I think I figured it out. I don't think he wanted to go. I don't think he wanted to give this pulpit up this morning. I really don't. And I can't blame him. We're blessed in this church with a good pastor, a good pastor's family, wonderful musicians, talented people that are willing to give and share, and then a great congregation. And God has blessed us. And we've got a lot to be thankful for this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. I tell you what, there's a couple of things I might need to mention just again. No service tonight, in case you weren't aware of that. And I did want to mention Sue Ellen and Mr. Batten, who was a member of our church. Mr. Batten is in hospice now. So please pray for him and the family, and pray for Sue Ellen. She has really been going through a lot. And if we start taking prayer requests, we won't get a sermon. I don't know if y'all want that or not, but bless your heart. There are so many people that are sick and in need. And I hope what we're about to talk about is going to help that. Be something of encouragement in that sense. Our passage of Scripture is a familiar one. It's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I would like for us to stand, and I'm going to ask you something. How many of you know this by heart? I see hands. Well, those that don't, it's right there. How many of you have heard a sermon or this spoken on before? Probably everybody in here. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And as I read, I want you to read with me. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Y'all can be seated. Pastor asked me what I was going to speak on, and I told him, I think he gave me another little look. That might have been another reason why he didn't want to go. But I said, I'm going to speak on paths. And it's something that really has been a part of me lately, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But this passage of Scripture is a very powerful one. When you study the Word of God, there are several ways you can do it, and one way that some may not be familiar with is you can do a word study. Anybody ever done that? Looked up a word and gone through the Scripture and found these different passages? I was surprised by some of the verses that I found that included the word path or paths. There were a lot. There were more when you change that to the way, as in the way to live, the way to serve, the way to worship. There were also a number of additional scriptures that you could have tied into this. But I wanted to start with this. The problem with a passage that you memorize, There's a blessing, and then there's a negative side to it. The blessing is it's always there. That's why I encourage people to memorize Scripture. It's not just for Bible school. It's not just for Sunday school and younger people. However, some of the verses that I memorized in Bible school and in early Sunday school have stayed with me all my life. So I would encourage us all, because when you have that memorized, you've always got it with you, and it can bless you. The downside of it is this: a familiar passage of Scripture, we can kind of take it for granted. Oh, I know that. Oh, I've heard that. They've preached on that many times. And we might just fail to look at it over again. I know in preparing what little I've got, I did see this verse in a special way, and the other verses that showed up shocked me because some of them really have an interesting side to them. Now, let's find out why I'm interested in this. Well, we'll start back about, I don't know, maybe a half a year ago. Debbie and I, my wife, we went over to Fort Macon. We don't do this often, and we got on that trail. There's a nature walk over there. It's a path. And I heard some groans. Yeah, thank you very much. Because it said 3 miles. All right. Now, when I had been on it for about an hour and a half, I looked at Debbie and I said, was that 3 miles or 30 miles? Because I know we've done 15 miles already. And that was the truth. But it really was 3 miles. And so that was my first time out, and I didn't do too good. You know, my wife is not the tallest person you'll ever meet. But I tell you what, them short legs can take off. She had my tongue hanging out following behind her. She was gone. I saw only her backside as it disappeared over the next sand dune. Well, we tried another place up near the house, the Croatan Forest. Same story. I'm a huffing and a puffing, and she's a taking off. And I said, my goodness. So I didn't let that first time out discourage me too much. I decided, well, I'm going to go back. I had some reasons. You know, my blood pressure's up like everybody's is, and I could lose a few pounds. I do lose a few pounds, and then I find them somewhere. So you know how that is. But, I have a health concern like all people our age, you know, seem to, or my age. Some of y'all are young folks. I forget about that. You know, I was in the young adult class for about 40 years. I could, you know. Once you get in a class, it's kind of hard to get out sometimes. But now I'm in the old folks' class. Man, I'll probably be there for a while. Let's hope I am. Anyway, like I say, not too discouraged and not too defeated, I decided that I would try it again. And that I really did like the area that we walked up in the Croatan. And I heard a story. And I don't know if this will help you or not, but I want to tell you this little story. There was a fellow, he's a great writer, and I won't mention his name, but he had a dream, and that was a dream to open a retreat in I believe it was Colorado, for men, especially focused on the needs of adult Christian men. And he had a dream. He had a dear friend, and that friend had the same vision. You know how that works. You know, you got somebody come along beside you and share your dream. It means all the world. So they had everything prepared. It was opening day of this camp. And the fellow that was telling the story said, I had other responsibilities, but I allowed my dear friend to take a group of visitors out to a place where there was an overlook. I feel this. What happened? That man fell to his death, his friend. And he talked about the dark place that put him in. And he said, I just couldn't come to grips with it. We had done this. We had done this thing that was going to be such a good thing, such a beneficial thing. And for an accident like this to take the life of my dear friend right on opening day, he said, I just couldn't. And he got in a dark place. And he said, I knew all the verses. I knew scripture. I knew songs. I knew everything I needed to know, but I could not escape. And he said, so I went walking in the woods. Took me 6 months to overcome that. But he said, God ministered to me in the beauty and the silence of those woods. And I've heard of other cases where that's true. God will meet us where we are, and God will bless us and help us. Because why? Because he loves us. We're his children, and he loves us. He wants us to walk the path. Why? Not so we can become bound by law, as we had in our Sunday school this morning, but because he knows it's the best thing for us, and he loves us like a good father. So anyway, I start going out there and walking, and I think I'm a little better than I used to be in walking. It's a beautiful place. I find things there that really bless me and challenge me and open my eyes. But about the second week, I decided to do something. And that was before, when I'd get to the trailhead, I would stop and say a prayer and say, God, walk with me. Now, there's something wrong with that, isn't there? Say, God, walk with me. If God were to speak to me, I think I know what he'd say. He has on occasion given me a little answer, and my daughter and I were talking about it this morning. When God speaks to you, it will not contradict Scripture, we know that, but it will be short and sweet, it will be powerful, and it will be a thought that you don't have. But I said, God, walk with me. What would he say to that? Paul, I've already told you I'm with you, and I'm with you always. And I thought, well, it's as much for me as it is for you. Because I want your presence with me, and I want to be aware of it. It's not that he's not there. Certainly he is. But I need to make sure I know he's there. And the blessings and the benefit of this walk increased that day. Because not only did it minister to the spiritual or the physical side of me, but to the spiritual side. It's kind of funny. This trail is 2 miles. And I found that walking at a normal pace, it's just right at 60 minutes. Sometimes I get in a hurry and I push it. I really push it. Then it's 57 minutes. So I'm not going to be called up by the Olympic Committee this week and end up in Japan, I tell you. But the beauty of this can be seen in the verse that we just looked at. You know, the opening statement, trust in the Lord. Boy, that's easy, isn't it? It's easy when things are going good. Trust is something that is hard to find sometimes when things are hard. It was like our song, when the storms beset us, it's hard to trust. But God can reassure us, anchor our faith, and we can trust Him. We can trust God, can't we? Have you ever thought about how great that really is? We can trust God. We've had Hebrews in Sunday school lately. And what did it say? There's 2 things that God can't do. He cannot lie, and he can't change. Isn't that a great thing? Our God doesn't change. Our God does not lie. And he tells us over and over again that we can trust him. And we're to trust him. I'm really good thinking about this. Trust him with what? With our heart. Isn't that interesting to you? Our heart. To me, the heart represents the seat of emotions, and we are emotional creatures, aren't we? Some more so than others, but we are to trust him with all our heart, and we're not to lean to our own, understanding. Have you ever been through a crisis? Now, if you're my age or in that range, and you haven't, I'd be shocked. Have you not ever had a situation in your life show up that you said, I cannot understand this? Knowing God, knowing his goodness, knowing that he has a purpose and a plan for every one of his children, I don't know how this can be. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But in the course of time, what happens? We kind of gain God's viewpoint, don't we? I don't know why my friend died with ALS. He was the best guy. He was a servant of God. He had a ministry. He had a family. Why did that happen? I don't know, but I know God. And you know what? We're going to face things. If we haven't already, we're going to face things that are going to be dark as that valley of death, the shadow in the valley of death, shadow of death in the valley. We will. But you know, in that Psalm 23, and I've always said this, Psalm 23 is a psalm for the living, not the dead. We always hear it at funerals, and I don't mean it in any way. It's a beautiful song. It's a great psalm. There's nothing more precious than that psalm in the book of Psalms, I think. It says so much, but it truly is a psalm for the living, not the dead. But, you know, when it starts out, it's great. God is leading us by in the green pastures. God is leading us by still waters. There's other wonderful blessings and benefits are in there. But the great thing of it, and it reminds me of the song that I know you're probably thinking about too, the God of the valley is the God of the mountain. Or the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. And it is true. What a wonderful and amazing thing we have in Christ. Think about the sad state of the world. Facing things. They face them too. There are those who say, well, the wealthy and the elitist and the movers and shakers in the world, they don't feel that. If you want to see that, look at Psalms 73. It's all laid out. But in truth, they are going to face the same things we face. They are facing them, and they're doing it without Christ. And that is a frightful thing. I'm going to laugh, make you laugh, but there was a guy I knew that was a great speaker. And he would write about 5,000 words for every sermon he did, and he had his wife type them up. And about, I don't know how long it took her to do this, but one day she said, hey, she said, can I ask you something? And he says, yeah, what? He says, are you going to use any of those notes that I just typed up? And he said, probably not. I wrote notes. I don't normally do that. Usually I write bullets. Maybe I should have stayed with that. But in walking that path, and finding what I found, it is a place where, as the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. You know, we have noise in our world. You can't get away from it. We have visuals in our world that you can't get away from. You say, well, I'm going to quit watching the news. You won't get away from it because it's always there. It's always somewhere. We need to be still. As we're challenged from in Scripture, we need to be still. We need to give time to God where we can be quiet before Him. It's important. I found that out on these walks. You know, God answered me by saying, sure, I'll walk with you. And He does. There are places out there that have amazing beauty. It's kind of funny. It's kind of a little piece of life itself. When I look at what's out there and I see God the Creator and I see ponds that have black water and lily pads and white crown lotus blossoms in the middle of them and all that, and then I look at the far shore and you can see patterns of colors that go right up to trees, some vibrant, alive, some battered by storms and broken. But all of it blends into one beautiful picture. And I have to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your beauty. Not only did you give this world beauty, but guess what? Strangely enough, we have eyes to see. We have a nose that smells. We have ears that hear. we have the faculties to appreciate and enjoy the things that we see. And what should that do? What it usually does, if we're right, if our heart's in the right place, we will praise God for His glory. It's a sad thing that there are those who attribute it to time, and they're missing a point about our God. God is not constrained by time. So if it's 25 million years or 50 million years or 100 million years or 5 million years, whatever it is, it's not a concern. God has done what He's going to do. He said He did it in 7 days. That's good enough for me. It's true. There are people in here that have seen beautiful things, and I know that because I've been in some of the places you've been. Those that work the water at night in particular. Beautiful. Sun going down, skies on fire, moon coming up. You can see into the water. Even with only moonlight, you can see through the water. Glorious and beautiful. Isn't it a wonder just to thank God for what we have in Him, what He has provided for us? When I go out and walk, I do something that helps me. The only reason I bring it up, please, I hope you understand this. The reason I would bring it up is because I hope that it would help you. I had two desires in this. One, that I could please God in what I say. And the other is that if there's one person that this helps in any way, then I'll be completely satisfied. When I go out, I have some prayers. Some prayers are things I repeat. And some people would say, well, Paul, you're in that vain repetition stuff. And I think, no, I'm not. Not if what I say goes to the true and living God. And He knows my heart. He knows what I'm saying. I do verses of Scripture sometimes. I get upset sometimes. I trip. I fall down. I get dirty. There's all kinds of fun things out there. I don't want to paint too spiritual a picture. If you ever see me out there and I'm doing this, you know what that is? That's not a worship service. That's yellow flies, and there's plenty of them. So I want you to know it's in touch with reality, but it is a wonderful thing to have time alone with God. And when I get about halfway through, I'll start praying for individuals. And that's a gift. That's a gift to remember. Pray for our church. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our pastor's family. Pray for those who are sick in the church. We can't cover all those needs, but we can cover a few. I've got family with needs. It's a hard thing, ain't it, folks, when your brothers and sisters start falling prey to old age and suffering. It's really hard. I can't go too deep in that. But I do these things, and if there's any other thing you can tell me that I can do, I'll do it. Because it is such a privilege to have that time. And, you know, the Bible tells us, I think I wrote it down somewhere in some of these notes, but the Bible tells us that exercise is profits a little bit, physical exercise, but spiritual exercise, getting close to God, spending that time, it profits greatly. And you know, you don't have to go off and wander in the woods. All you have to do is sit on your back deck or in your backyard. Spend time in quietness alone with God. It's where He speaks. It's where He can change us. It's where He can help us. As we think back on this verse, there are two words that stand out. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I'm not going to go into all the other verses that I found to consider as far as paths, but I want you to do that. You'll find some interesting things. There's one, I knew I was going to do this. I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to do it. But there was one that really left an impression on me. There were two that left. Wait a minute. Where are my cards? No, okay, I'm not going to do that. But there were, one was by Job. And I thought it was fascinating. Ties in, I think. He said, there are paths that the fowl do not know. I think, what's he talking about? And he said, and there is a path that the vulture cannot see. Now, if you don't know anything about nature, there are migratory patterns that birds, butterflies, hummingbirds have that are just absolutely amazing, especially a hummingbird. They say that a hummingbird, after they've been born, no bigger than anything, when they're 3 or 4 weeks old, they begin a journey that's 3,000 miles. And you know, his mama didn't tell him how to get there. He already knew. That's what Job was talking about. He said, I don't know how they know, but they know. The migratory patterns of birds, fascinating study. If you were watching Nature Channel recently, you saw the butterflies, only a billion of them. You ever seen, one of the most frail flying creatures in the world, and yet they make a journey of about 3,000 miles across the Gulf of Mexico and into Mexico and into the mountains, and it gets interesting after that. But it's just like great volumes or columns of these butterflies. How do they know to get there? Been prearranged. They were given a map. But Job said that about it. He said that, and what I read into that was, if he knows how to instill in these creatures a flight plan that will get them to where they want to go, he's provided that for us. We know that because that flight plan includes Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we will go from this life to a suitable and wonderful destination because of Him. Because of Him. And that's as hard to understand to me as butterflies flying 3,000 miles. The other thing that I saw, when the prophets in Isaiah were prophesying about Jesus, they said that there was going to be a prophet, John the Baptist, that was going to say some things about him. And John the Baptist said this, make straight his path. And I thought, that's interesting. Make straight Jesus's path? And I thought, yeah. What I was left with on that, right or wrong, because sometimes I can be wrong. Ask Debbie. But anyway, I'd be real wrong. No, don't ask Debbie. But anyway, what I read into that, what I saw in that, what I sensed in that was, we don't have a Savior that sends us to the front, do we? He's already gone there before us. He has. He's gone there before us. He's not those generals that hang out the back and say, you guys go up there and fight. You go up there and face the enemy. You go up there and face danger. He's already been there. And, of course, he did face danger for us. Not only did he face danger, he faced the hardship of living a sinless life. He faced every hardship, I believe, and every temptation that we could face. And he conquered them. And you say, wow, what a reward he got. He suffered a cruel and shameful death, but he conquered death for us that we can have life eternal. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's our path. He made it happen. When we walk that path, we'll see his footprints, and that's a good thing. There's more that we could add to this, of course. I have no trouble doing that, but I do have trouble stopping sometimes. I'll do that. My question is, where are we on the path? You can't prepare something like this and that question not come right back at you. It's a challenge to me. It was a challenge to me. I hope in some way it's spoken as a challenge to you. You know, the benefits of staying close to the Lord, the benefits of walking the path that He's directing. In all thy ways acknowledge. I said there were two words in there that were real powerful. One is trust, and two is acknowledge. Just sensing and knowing that He is there. You know, I look over at Molly. She's getting ready to make a trip, Lord willing. And she has been following His steps, and I don't think she would take anything back. Not in this life. But it's been a path where she not only made a great decision and choice, she has helped other people find that path. And that's something that certainly should be our desire and goal. You know, on that trail that I'm on, it's clearly marked. I didn't know that. I needed a map. There was one right at the start of it. About 3x5, covered all the trails. I was wandering around. Every now and then I'd veer off. There'd be these little side paths that you'd get on. Some of you may have experienced this, but you get on it and say, oh, this is a great path. Oh, it's nice. It's wide. You know, this is good. This is the right path. And I would follow it off into the woods, and it would get narrower and narrower. And I come up and I said, this didn't go anywhere. The reason it's big is because people have to turn around and go out again. That is not true in our case. We have what? The Word of God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have the Word of God. We have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what were we told about the Holy Spirit? When He's come, He will guide us into all truth. All we have to do is follow. There is not a need in our lives that God can't meet. There's only one true requirement, and that is a willing acceptance. That makes the difference. I hope in some way this will help you. If there is any kind of a need that we can help you with, please share it with us. Next week, our pastor will be back. You know, we both have beards. I still think I'm cuter than he is. Although I think public opinion in here would be different than that. But we all are still allowed our delusions. But anyway, let's pray for the pastor, pray for the national, pray for these that are sick, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Did you want to do the closing? Okay, that'll be fine. I tell you, this thing's a whole lot easier to steer from back there. I had it all right from back there, but up here it's a little different. I'm dependent on those who know. If you have any need or anything you'd like to pray about, come to the altar and there'll be someone that will meet you.
Before we start on our closing hymn, I have a commentary to make on Paul's message. You know, kind of like CNN and Fox and all that. I had the same experience he did about 2 years ago. I went out to that trail that he was talking about, 3.5 miles. Now, I was in the Marine Corps for over 30 years, and I said, no problem, okay? No problem. I used to run this, you know? Used to run 10 miles. Well, I forgot how long I'd been retired and what age does to you. So I started down that trail just like you, Paul. And I said, now, wait a minute. This says 3/4 of a mile. That's got to be wrong. So here is my assessment on that. They changed the measurement scale in all those years. So I believe you're right. They've done something to the measurement scales, okay? Because there was no way. I mean, I was hurting when I was done. Because I hadn't done that for a while. But I know they changed the measurement scale. Before we start on our song, I want to remind you that next Sunday, we're going to have a special calls business meeting following the morning service. So remember that. That's next Sunday, July 25th. Okay? So... Oh, boy. No, I didn't say that. We do not have choir practice tonight. I didn't mean that, Clint, okay? Yeah, well, you know how it is. Okay. And this is on page 283. Please stand. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy well, out of my sin, and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Brother Wiley, would you lead us in our closing prayer, please?